Hello, everyone. As y'all come in, let me try to get this situated. I'm going to tell you, I'm at a hotel and the lighting options are not exactly banging. It's a fun hotel. It's just, this room is crazy. It's got the lights are strange and there's a desk with no chair. So I had to bring a chair from the living room over here. It's just really weird. Anyway, but we are going to get it done. So if you will let me know in the chat, because I also happen to have a brand new computer. I don't have my usual mic. So if it's a little echoey, I do apologize, but can you hear me okay? I'm gonna look for the chat to see if we can hear you. We can hear you. Great. Perfect. All right. Somebody's from Sugarland, Texas. I don't know where you are, but I'm in Austin. So, all right. Let me do a little housekeeping. Number one, let me get the fabulous coach, Julie, promoted so Julie is going to be inside of the Q&A. I'm going to answer a lot of questions. She's going to answer a lot of questions. So she'll leave behind questions for me that are more like global, like things that we all, for some reason, it's got Julie pinned as the big one. Let me see if I can pin me. There we go. So Julie answers questions that are a little bit more specific to people. So if you have a question that is a little bit more specific to you, she's probably going to answer it. Otherwise, I'll answer it in the Q&A. And let me do a few announcements. So if you don't know how this call is going to work, this is a Q&A call. I am going to start with a couple of announcements. And then I want to talk a little bit about perfectionism. So last Sunday, I did a call where I was talking about perfectionists. And y'all loved it. It got a ton of comments in Facebook. People were just like, I listened to that call. Did you listen to that call? So we thought we would just kind of dive a little bit deeper into that for a few minutes to kick this call off before we get into questions. So if you do have questions about being a perfectionist, this would be a great call for you to answer that or ask those. All right. So number one, the book study is going on. I am so proud of all the people who are doing the work on Soundtracks. If you do not know, Soundtracks is the book that we are studying this quarter. Once a quarter, we do a book study. That is for people who like to read. This is not required for everyone to do. So it's just bonus work. If you like, some people really love to do not only our stuff, but you like to also hear from other people who teach similar things. So Soundtracks would be a great book for you to do if you are finding that you self-sabotage. And if you don't know what self-sabotage is where you constantly find yourself doing things, what feels like against your own will. It's like, why is it that I sit around all the time, want to lose weight, want to get started and stuff, and yet at the time that I'm supposed to do it, excuses, justifications, and what I want in the moment kind of get in my way. Like, I just feel like I can't do it. That's usually rooted in self-sabotage. And what that just means is that you have a thought somewhere deep down. You have a thought somewhere deep down that contradicts what you want in the moment. So let's say that you want to lose weight. But underneath all of it, your brain is telling you it's just so hard. It's hard for you. And then like if you were to sit and write, you could write about your past way easier than what you're willing to do for yourself. And you would just sit around with your girlfriends and you would tell the story of how hard weight loss is for you and how difficult it is and how many failed diets you have. You would just sit around and talk about it and it would feel super true to you. Like your brain would not even offer, well, here's how it could be easier. Here's how it could be not as bad as we think. Like that tape that runs underneath that I'm not good enough means that when it comes time to make a plan, your brain is telling you, why are you even bothering with this plan? It's so hard. You know, you probably won't stick with it anyway. And so you don't make a plan, even though you know it makes sense to make a plan. Even though you've heard me say 1,000 times, it makes sense to make a plan. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to learn how to listen for those subtle thoughts. Now, we teach you in module 2 all about the think, feel, do cycle. We also have a class on self-sabotage inside the membership. And now we are doing the book study on soundtracks. They all go very well together. Even if you don't want to read the book this month, you always can go to our book study page on the website and you can do book studies anytime you want. We give you a guide. We give you juicy quotes. We do our own like questions. We put our videos where Coach Yesenia does some coaching on there. So you get to do that anytime you want. So it's just, I like to think of it as some of the fun things about being in NoBS that you're just not going to get anywhere else when it comes to losing weight. We just try to give you different things that you could do here that keep you interested in weight loss, keep you interested in your transformation and such. All right. So that's the first thing. Second thing is Handling the Holidays is underway. If you have not visited the Handling the Holidays page, I highly recommend that you do it. There's only three worksheets that are involved in this, but these three worksheets are money makers. They are going to help you figure out how you currently think about the holidays and what you could think. So a lot like what we're going to be focused on between November and December is figuring out how to rewrite a lot of the stories that we have so that the holidays, we get to have fun. We get to enjoy them. We're not pent up, worried about other people's opinions. We're not sitting around giving up on our goals, thinking it's too hard to lose weight during the holidays. So we're doing everything we can to help you with navigating those holidays and making them what they should be. Enjoyable, fun. Even if you don't celebrate the holidays, I would go through the program because everything that we teach there applies to vacations, girls trips, work trips, all the things. I'm like navigating this week. Let me just tell you, this hotel is cute as a button. The food options suck. I'm like, what am I going to even eat for breakfast? I was working out on Uber Eats, trying to figure out how I could order some food because every restaurant here is either frou-frou and I don't even understand what the damn menu is, or it's like fried Texas food. I'm just like, Jesus. So I had my coffee this morning. Corinne's running on coffee and water and her mindset that hunger's not an emergency. So you too can do thought work just like me when you are traveling. I really want to share that with you that like this week I have been gone since God, it feels like forever. I left on Monday. My flights were delayed. Luggage was delayed. Traveling was a mess. And then I turned around and gave a keynote presentation at a conference, rushed out of there, hopped on another plane to come to Austin because this week I'm actually working with the Jane of Bestie Fame on rewrites for Binge Better and what we're going to do with the Binge Better program next year and all kinds of other exciting things. And then I have a meeting with some of my peers this weekend where we're a group of women who all have women-owned businesses. We are a mixed, diverse crowd. We have women of color. We have everything in our group. And we sit and we talk about our business. We bust our limiting beliefs and we figure out how to keep each other accountable and on track. And so I'm really looking forward to it. It's a mastermind that I've been in for a long time. And these are fabulous ladies that I adore. So, but this week, like I'm eating out every single meal. And I can't sit around. So to perfectionism, I can't sit around and think I either can be on plan or I can't be off plan. And that's what happens with perfectionists. Y'all have this either or switch that works in your brain all the time. It's either hard or it's easy. I'm on track. I'm off track. I'm good or I'm bad. Food is healthy or it's not healthy. There's no gray. Perfectionists have something in common, which is, and I mentioned this on the coaching call on Sunday that I did. So if you're looking for the talk that I did with perfectionism, it's in the Sunday coaching call. And Julie, if you'll let the team know, I would love to splice out that little bit of teaching and let's plug it in as a quick hit and let's put it inside this call so that we have plenty of perfectionism type resources for everyone. But perfectionists basically, here's how you know if you are one. Perfectionists tend to quit before they even get started. So a perfectionist will like join NoBS and they'll look at everything and their brain will start thinking automatically, everything that they have to do. They'll think when I say we're going to do the four basics, that means, oh, so I'm going to do the four basics. And the first time I mess up, I'm going to be screwed. It's going to be really hard to do all of it. So perfectionists go to this all or nothing thinking, like, I've got to do everything. If I don't do everything, that means, and this is how you know you're on shit road, is first is your thoughts. You should look at what your thoughts are about the program. You should look at your thoughts about whatever it is you want to do in life, whether it's finishing a project at work or whatever goes on in your life if you think you're a perfectionist. The first thing to do is to look at all of your thinking and then ask yourself, all right, I want to know honestly what my habit brain tells me is involved in what I have to do. We always want to look at everything. You don't want to hide from that version of you, because that version of you, like what I was talking about in soundtracks, if you don't start looking at the way your brain naturally talks to you, you're never going to be able to act the way you want to. Because however your brain is talking to you, like whatever the conversation that's allowed is how you end up acting. So if you think about the think, feel, do cycle, you probably have a lot of thoughts when you think about the program, the basics, handling the holidays and things like that. And if you don't examine them, then in the moment when you're supposed to do something, you don't feel like it. You either notice you feel dread, you feel anxious, you feel hesitant. Like you'll have these feelings that do not fuel doing the work. And so that's what the brain, so you want to like first, you want to write down everything that goes on in your brain when you think about doing something. And then you want to take a look at it. Like you like literally want to look at it on paper. And you want to do this with your non-judgmental lens. And you know that I teach you inside of the No BS weight loss course. I believe this is in module, it's either module 2 or module 3. So if you've not gone through those modules, if you're sitting around on your ass and only done module 1, Corinne's telling you, go to the website, push play on the next video. There's no sitting around like a perfectionist saying, well, I didn't watch them all the first 2 weeks that I joined, so I must be a shit show. No, you're not. You're one bit here. You can either think you're a shit show or you can say, I'm one click away from learning something new. Totally optional. People who are not perfectionists are sitting around thinking about what they can do. Perfectionists sit around and think about what they haven't done, what they can't do, what they should be doing. A lot of can'ts, what they should, what they have to. Non-perfectionists, that language is a lot lower. And I've trained myself on how to think the new way. What can I be doing? So you look at your thoughts. You don't put on the judge's robes. None of us need to be a Judge Judy when it comes to our weight loss. We got to go in like the badass scientists that we are. So then you just look at them and you think, okay, if I was going to make this easier, what are the things that I could do that my habit brain is telling me that I can't? Start with some of the easiest things that you can start. You could ask yourself, what on here feels true, but if I really, really, really had to prove it, you could think a different way. And I want y'all to think about this. Sometimes you're like, what I could be thinking, ask it this way of yourself. Because a lot of them are like, no, it is true. Like, but if you were like, no, really, if we really, really, really had to press, when you look at all these things that you're telling yourself that you have to do, when you're telling yourself how hard it's going to be, is it really, really, really true? Because a lot of times when you do that, your brain lowers its guard and it's like, well, okay. I mean, I could at least make a plan today. I could at least start with breakfast. I may think I'm not good enough, but I could do that. I could convince myself that for today, this is how we're going to get started. That's how you start unwinding some of this. So you have to think about, number one, is you got to look at all of the thinking, and you cannot be judgmental about it for perfectionists. Then you have to really challenge it. You have to be willing to wiggle out of some of that perfectionist story. Because the thing about perfectionists is you either quit before you even start because you have such a story in your head about your lack and how hard it will be that you won't do the things. So like even simple things like making a plan, like there's nothing that I teach you that's complicated. So I want you to think about, there's a difference between easy and simple. So what I teach you is never really that complicated. Like if you had to do it, I want all of you to think about it. For some of you are like, no. Like I find some of these hunger signal things complicated. I want you to think, if I was, you know, rich as fucking Oprah, and I had the like unlimited resources for every no BS woman, that if you lost all of your weight doing it exactly as I teach with just the four basics, you'd get paid $50,000. Most of you would be like, fuck yeah. All of a sudden, your mind would change. Your mind would be like, so all I gotta do is do the four basics, lose all my weight, and you're gonna give me $50,000. Then your brain would suddenly go from thinking about how you can't do it, be like, okay, well, shit, how could I do it? Is there a time frame? You'd probably like, is there a time frame on this? I'd be like, no. Don't care how long it takes. As long as you do the four basics, and I've got a little camera that's going to watch you, and all I need to do is see you doing the four basics, doing discovery worksheets. That's it. I don't need you to do nothing else. You'd be like, huh. Suddenly, a lot of you would start trying things, looking for what's not working. You'd go to ask coaches and be like, okay, I want to get my 50K. Here's what I'm noticing. I've been doing this damn plan every day. I noticed that like I'm not following on these times. Here's what I found out on my discovery worksheet. Could you help me? Because I'd really like my 50K. Do you notice how like the only thing that changed is you went from being a perfectionist? Because this is what would happen. None of you would be a perfectionist anymore. You just wouldn't. You'd make mistakes, but you'd keep going because there's no time frame. You start thinking, blah, I'm going to figure this out. Remember when Corinne said she's going to figure it out? She wasn't even getting 50K. I'm getting my 50K. I'm going to figure it out. I don't care how many discovery worksheets I do. I'll hand them all in to get my money. Like, I want you to notice you wouldn't have as hard a time getting started. You'd be more willing to get started. When you see the plan, when you see the discovery worksheets and stuff, they wouldn't trigger, I'm not good enough anymore. They would trigger you to think, ooh, I'm figuring this out. The only thing that changed is that you made it important. Without shame, without judgment, without bullshit thinking that, like, I'm not good enough. You immediately have this way of dropping some of those stories. It doesn't mean that you won't think those things, but your brain is like, okay, we have like 50K on the line. We want to get this done. And every time you would think, I'm not good enough, suddenly those messages would be a little louder. You just be like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do this anyway. And then you would get into gear. And so perfectionists either don't start because they're so afraid of the process and what they make it mean. So like their process is very all or nothing. And their thoughts about them being able to do it is also all or nothing. Like, I can't afford to fail. If I make a mistake, it'll be all over. The second part of it is some people can even, they can override a lot of that. And be like, no, I'm willing. I'm all in. I'm going. I'm going to do it. And they go ham. And then they hit their mistakes. And this is where perfectionism comes up on the back end. The relationship you have with your mistakes will tell me whether or not you'll finish this or you'll quit. If you beat yourself up and you don't do the work to change that, I know you'll quit one day. Quit before you actually lose all your weight. I don't mind you leaving no BS. I just don't want people leaving no BS because they give up on themselves. We need to quit doing that. You need to be here long enough to learn how not to give up on yourself. It will be a skill you can use in your life. Whether you lose your weight or not, I want you to at least walk out the door knowing how to keep going and how to keep pursuing your dreams, not to walk out the door because you've convinced yourself you're not good enough and that you can't do it. So what happens with perfectionists is when they have all this all or nothing, some perfectionists are so good at beating themselves up through the process that they can be perfect for a little while. But it won't feel super motivating as you're doing it. You'll be ending the day with, thank God I got through another one. I hope I don't screw it up tomorrow. I'm really glad that I stayed on plan today, but it's just a matter of time. Perfectionists beat themselves up, not only during the process, before a process. They usually beat themselves up so bad in the face of a mistake. And I want to tell all of you, I was thinking about this in the shower as I was listening to some podcasts, and this morning I was just kind of thinking about what all I wanted to talk about today before we get into questions. Is I want to tell all of you, the four basics were never designed for me to give them to you and you do them perfectly. I designed to give you something that's not complicated and that's easy to understand, that you can start doing immediately, that doesn't fuck your life up trying to do so, where you don't have to like do elaborate meal preps and like, you know, cut out all the favorite foods overnight. You don't have to detox. You don't have to download apps and figure out how to use them and all that kind of stuff. I created the four basics because I knew I couldn't be that person. And I didn't want to be that person. I tried so hard to be that person for so long. And I got tired of trying to do something that I never really wanted for myself. So I had to really figure out what I did want for myself. And so if I ever intended for the four basics to be done perfectly, I would not have modules 2, 3, and 4 of No BS. You'd get one module. It would be called, here are the four basics, now get busy, bitch. That would be the end of it. I could have it all taught to you in 10 minutes. But the four basics are designed to help you see all of that inner self-talk that you have. It is to help you know, like a lot of you are just like, you've spent your life telling yourself a lot of shit around food that's not true. I just love sweets. I coached someone this last Sunday, which was Halloween, on I just love sweets. It was either in the Queen's Club or it was in the live coaching call. So if you want to go back and look at it, you can. We have descriptions of them. And she's been questioning it since then. And realizing she doesn't really just love sweets. That when she was thinking that way, she realized that's not the relationship that I want with sweets. I don't want it to feel disempowering. Come to find out, there were lots of sweets she don't even love. And when you understand, like when you really start just examining how you talk around food and stuff, you get to redefine it. So for her, she was like, it's not that I love sweets. There are certain sweets that I do want to include, but I don't want to feel like I love them anymore. I want to be selective. I want to enjoy sweets on my terms. We forget when we are just sitting around in our thoughts that there are other stories that can be told that put us back in control. that shake us to our food core. Like, what? I can believe this. Like, and sometimes it, like, you'll have like a thought shift like that. Like, it's not that I just love all the sweets. It's that I want to enjoy sweets. I want to include them. And I want to do it in a way where I can lose weight. Like, if I really want to think about what I truly want with sweets, it's really that. So I've got a, like, the version of me that wants to be truly enjoying sweets, planning them when I truly want them, having no regrets, second guessing myself and fear around them. I can't afford to keep telling myself that I love them all anymore, because it's really not true. That's just something I've told myself for so long that's bastardized my relationship with sweets. And so when you think about the basics, it is to uncover these stories that you've told yourself for far too long. The rest of No BS talks about how you handle yourself after a mistake. We teach you what to do after an ovary. I would never, for all my perfectionists, I don't have any lessons inside of No BS that I don't think we all need to understand and use. So you have to realize that your thoughts that it's all supposed to go perfectly, that you are on or you're off, that you have to do it right or you can't lose weight, is just your story that feels like crap. And it's not even true. The vast majority of our success stories, they do everything about 80% or better. Most of you are going to lose a fuck ton of weight if you'll just get to the 80% mark. That doesn't mean you start at 80%, but you start doing things and you work your way up until you're used to listening to your hunger signals, until you're used to waiting for hunger, until you figure all of those things out. But I will tell you, for perfectionists, you do not have to be good at stopping at enough to lose some weight. You could be good at it half the time, part of the time, and start losing weight. All of you, perfectionists or not, there is room for error. And then once you get to that 80%, then we get to work on fine-tuning. A lot of people who stall out at 80%, they've lost a ton of weight. I would much rather you get to the place where we're just on a stall, and then now we start digging in. Now we start getting to some of the deeper rooted stories, like, you know, eating past enough comforts me. I watch a lot of people lose a ton of weight and they stall out because they've been able to cut their portions and it seemed sizable and it helped for a long time. But at some point, you got smaller. And your body doesn't require as much fuel. So now we get to really start comforting ourselves mentally, rather than trying to continue to figure out how to keep eating to comfort. How can we monkey the system? So the basics are there because they're not complicated. They do work, but they also just highlight how to have a better life, because they're going to highlight all the things that are blocking you from having a rich, full, better life. All right, let me check my notes real quick. There was, we had took a bunch of notes trying to give you guys. So the last thing I wanted to tell you for perfectionists and for handling mistakes is when you do a discovery worksheet, when you make a mistake and you decide to not beat yourself up, which you will have the urge if you've always been doing it, the voice will want to come in. And I just want you to take a deep breath and just say, it's not needed. My brain is used to telling me all kinds of things that feel bad. Sometimes I even feel bad or disappointed, but I also want to be compassionate with myself that I am now catching all of this conversation. I also want to be very proud of myself that in the past I would make a mistake and I'd either just quit, I'd let it rock me too hard, I would believe everything that I thought about myself, or I wouldn't even hear my conversation. I would just feel bad thinking the overeat did it to me, rather than knowing, like, now I know better. It's how I talk to myself naturally. And now I'm working on creating a new conversation on purpose so that one day my brain naturally offers up solutions, offers up grabbing that discovery worksheet, offers up compassion first, and help. But until that day comes, I am very willing to listen to it and do it on purpose for myself. I want you to think about your brain as like a small child that's so stuck that something bad has happened. That's what happens with an overeat. We have this small child who's like terrified that something's in the closet. Something's under the bed. It's not rational at all. Just like when you have an overeat and you think, see, this means I'll never be able to lose weight. See, this means I'm not good enough. See, this means I'm dumb. Everybody else gets it but me. Your brain is like that small child. It's having an irrational fear moment. It thinks something's in the closet or under the bed and going to grab its feet. And here's how we know we have irrational fears. How many of you still, to this day, as a grown-ass woman, don't like sleeping with your feet hanging off the bed? I swear the other night I woke myself up and scooted myself up in the bed because I was like, I told myself in my sleep, Corinne, there is nothing underneath the bed that's going to grab your feet. But as I'm laying there, my brain just kept imagining something grabbing my feet. Next thing I knew, I'm wiggling up in the bed and making sure all fours are in the bed. That's how we know our brain is irrational. It's like, so like, and even if you don't do that, there's plenty of us that do. So it's like, it's our brains are just that way. So I want you to think about your brain in the moments when you make a mistake, when it doesn't go right. Just know. It's having an irrational moment. It thinks something's under the bed. And then you come in like a parent who soothes the child, tells there's nothing there. Like, let's look. Like, let's look under the bed. See, nothing's there. You have to say, like, look, it was just an overeat. This is not destroying all of your weight loss. It's a meal. Let's look under the bed. No, no more bad things are coming. Like, we have to calm ourselves down. And so for all of you, when you start doing that, the one thing that solidifies making better conversation a thing for you is rewarding yourself mentally. Anytime you don't beat yourself up, anytime that you reroute the discussion, you change how you're going to think, anytime you do a discovery worksheet, when you follow your plan, if you will mentally reward yourself and talk about, I'm doing it, this is evidence that I can do it, your brain gets that dopamine hit. It's not as strong as Twinkie, but it is one. And it helps you start locking in those new soundtracks, those new thoughts, and those new beliefs about you. Okay. So I think all of you got an exciting little email this morning. Spring camp is open. Now, let me go over it just really quick because we've got two questions in here. You will notice there's only one camp next year. Camps are a big deal. So we are only having one because it takes us 6 months to order the things, write the content, plan the show, get all of the TV people here, like everything that goes into camp takes about 6 months to do it. And because we now put on such a huge production for all of you, because that's what, it, in my mind, if we're going to do it virtually, it's not going to be some little shit show. It's going to be like rocking. Like, I know you're at home or you're someplace where, like, if you're not in the room with me, you've got to feel like you're in the room with me. You've got to feel captivated. You've got to be like, everything looks amazing. The technology is above board. Like, all the things have to be in place. And so I just decided, one, y'all loved virtual way too much for me to take it away when we went back in person. So it's here to stay. But if we're going to do virtual, we're going to do it like a TED Talk would do it. We're going to do it like an Oprah show would do it. We're not half-assing anything. I'm just not a half-asser. That's just the way I roll. So it takes us about 6 months. That's why we're only having, we're going to go back to just doing one. We did one for years. And then when we hit COVID, that's when we started doing a bit more of them because we were just meeting virtually and stuff. So that is the reason why we're only doing one. And the theme is one of the most requested things we get inside of NoBS, which is y'all want to know how to have baller relationships. So we are going to be talking about the relationship with yourself, how relationships work, how to up-level them, how to quit getting disappointed in people, how to strengthen relationships with people who are no longer here. We are going to talk about, like, I don't want you to think that you have to be married. It's not about marriages. It's about your relationships all the way around you. So we have relationships with our job, like employees. We have relationships with peers. We have friends. We have, some of us have partners and children and stuff. It's all about making the relationships of your life amazing and finding the right relationships and knowing when to let some of them go, when some of them need rules and when some of it is all you. Some of us, you know, me in particular, I have made it hard for people to love me for a long time in my life. I'm very fortunate to have people that loved me despite just how difficult I made it on them. I was always testing people's love because at a young age, I was abandoned. And it was really hard for me to trust that people loved me. And so I acted out in relationships for a long time. I can't tell you how many fights I had with Chris over nothing, just to make sure he loved me, that he would stay. Because I always had it in my head that if I was just really pissed and acting out and he decided that he didn't want to be with me, then I could blame him. Although it would end up being my fault because he was trying so hard to love me and believe in me, and I couldn't do it. And so when I was, you know, over the years, and let me tell you, my weight loss did not solve this. I was still a big ass titty baby in our relationship after I lost weight. I still felt insecure. I just quit blaming my weight after a while. I just started blaming other stuff. It was like, if I was in, at the end of the day, if I was insecure, thinking that I wasn't good enough to be loved, like my whole thing wasn't even so much that I wasn't good enough to be loved. I had this story that I'd always be alone, that I did have flaws, but that I'd just always be alone and I would be okay. And I isolated myself a lot in relationships to prove that I would be okay, but it was miserable, miserable. And so I had to learn like how to love myself so that I could start seeing the love around me instead of repelling it constantly. I had to learn like how to show up in a relationship. I would either be repelling love and acting out, testing love everywhere, thinking, well, if they don't do this, they must not love me, to endless people pleasing, trying to make people love me, trying to bend over backwards and do things to get accepted. And I had to learn how to quit testing the love and how to love myself so I could let love in. I also had to figure out how to let go of some relationships that I hung on to from insecurity. I had to learn how to, like, when did I need to have a boundary with people? And when did I need to have a boundary with myself? To no longer allow buttons to be pushed. To know, like, what are the things, like, I had to get to a place where I had to understand people so that my buttons never got pushed anymore. I had to quit telling myself certain stories that only hurt me. I also had to learn how to, like, know how to do for someone and how to prioritize them. Because I really wanted to give to them, not because I was people-pleasing and self-sacrificing. How was I going to put someone else's needs to the forefront from a loving place that did not require a thank you? I didn't need their appreciation. I, like, genuinely wanted to show up. So this whole workshop is going to be a lot about those unspoken things that we just don't get taught very often. And it ties to weight loss because what most of us do is when people disappoint us, we eat. When we're afraid of losing love, we eat. When we need to fit in, we eat. Like, if you think about your weight loss, so many of us are eating at the end of a day of work. We're eating because we think we're not good enough as moms. We are eating because we're burnt out. We're trying to be everything to everyone and have no energy left to take care of ourselves. So that's what Relationships Weekend will be all about. So if you go to the website, you can check it out now. It's underneath events. The only other event we will have next year will be the Don't Stop Believing Race, which it won't be a 3-day event, but it will be in Nashville. We'll have limited spots. That's not ready to release. We have the hotel nailed, but we don't have everything nailed. So we can't do anything about that until then. But that will not be a camp. That will just be, you'll come, you'll go to the little running expo that we do on Friday. And then on Saturday, you'll do your race. And then you'll have the weekend in Nashville with a lot of people bring their family and stuff. This will not be like a big thing where we have a big ballroom where we're doing classes all weekend and stuff. It's just about the race. We will have a virtual option for it, so don't worry about that. And we will have, I think it's a 3-month training program that everybody who signs up for the race will, you'll all be in a group, and we're going to work on that. It's one of the things that Jane and I are working on the next couple of days. So we'll have more information about DSB, but I just don't want you to get confused. We will have Don't Stop Believing next year. If you want to learn how to walk, or you want to learn how to run for a distance. But more details will come out about that probably in January. So just so you know, and that will be at the end of June. And we will release more information later on that. But camp will be in March, and you can get all the information about dates, what we're covering. It's in downtown Nashville. We have a payment option we've never done a payment option before, but we are doing an in-person payment option. We also encourage you that this might be the Christmas gift you want. If you're like me, very often the people who love you don't always get you amazing Christmas gifts. Sometimes I get good ones. Most of the time I get things like, oh, like, can I do my own shopping? So if that's you, or you're worried about the supply chain, you always have camp as an option as a Christmas gift. So just putting that out there. All right, let's do some questions. I hope that the whole talk about perfectionism was helpful. I'm working on my perfectionistic patterns. One thing I notice is that I start a new habit out of love, and then over time, that habit becomes a reason I'm beating myself up when I'm not showing up like I did at the start. Any help with that? Yeah, Brenda, I just talked about that. The only thing you need to fix is, like, it's pointless to beat yourself up Because here's the thing, when we do a new habit, you're like, if the new habit was supposed to be easy, you'd already be doing it. Your brain, whenever you start doing some kind of new habit, no matter how good it is for you and how amazing it can be and all that kind of stuff, it's still different from what you always do. And your brain fights tooth and nail to keep you doing what it always has done. It's always going to offer up like, oh my God, like M&M's is great as a choice for dinner. Like that's what we should do. I mean, it makes no sense to your rational brain, but your habit brain, who's like got 1,000 reasons why this is a good idea, it's always going to offer all of that up. And sometimes when we're starting a new habit, guess what? We're not perfect in the beginning. It's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of listening to, oh, I need to watch out for that excuse. So when that excuse starts, I need to tell myself this. Oh, it's interesting that on these days when I'm stressed, that I tend to revert to my old pattern. So what do I need to do for myself to make the new pattern sexy on a day when I'm stressed? And while I'm doing that, what do I need to work on? Why am I getting stressed to begin with? What's happening in my life that I'm blaming for stress? What thoughts am I having that I'm generating stress for myself? And when I work through those things along with a, like the pattern, I get better and better and better. That's how you, like you, all of you will want to beat yourself up. You have to not do that. One of the best ways to help your brain when it wants to beat yourself up is you have to normalize that it's a process to start a new habit. It's a process to learn how to do something new. That it not going perfect is part of the process to get to where it happens consistently and reliably for yourself. And then when it's consistent and reliable, then it becomes easy. Then it becomes more automatic. It becomes just what you do. If there's only one camp a year moving forward, will they always be in March or spring, or will they move to other times of the year? As of right now, the next 2 years, they're in the spring. We have them in Nashville, and the reason why they're usually in spring is because in the fall, we have hockey, we have concerts, we have football. We have a bajillion events that happen in Nashville during the fall. It's very hard to get space. You have to book about 3 years out to get a fall event in Nashville. And we do it in Nashville because I'm here. All of our like film crew, all of our events people, everybody is here. And we can just put on a bigger, better, more consistent show doing it in Nashville. You also do not want me traveling for an event. It is hard enough to do 3 days, and I have to have a full day of rehearsal. Like there's all kinds of things going. Trust me, y'all don't want me jet lagged. Y'all don't want me off my poop schedule. You don't want me doing all of that and trying to do the event. So we always have it in Nashville, and it's just a great city. It's a big airport. Lots of people like coming here, but that is why we have them in spring. But it literally, you know, these events, not only do they take us 6 months to plan, but we've already contracted and paid for our space for the next 2 years. So the following year will also be, I believe it's in March or April. I don't know the exact weekend of 2023, but in January, we'll have to book 2024. So that, I mean, like when we plan events, guys, just know we take them very seriously. They just take a long time, and they take a lot of moving pieces. So, yeah, no one needs a terrible poop schedule. I really struggle with perfectionism. I feel behind from camp, and now we are talking about the holiday plan. I get overwhelmed. Then I have a busy, irregular life and will always tell myself that I can't plan because I don't know what or where I will be. I spin it overwhelmed. Yeah, Jamie. So first of all, you can't be behind from camp. Like that is impossible. Your brain is trying to give you reasons why, but what are you behind in? You've already done the weekend. I mean, I know you set a goal. But so what? You still can do your four basics each day. And you can figure out, like when you say, I have a busy, irregular life. No, you don't. Like, I want you to think about it. When and all of you who say, I have a busy life, how does it feel? Hard, taxing, This is why I don't ever say I have a busy life. I travel all the time now. If I wanted to make the case for having a busy life, I absolutely could. I have calls all day today. I can't even get food. Like, if I wanted to whine about my life, I could do it. But what I realize is that when I describe my life, I want to describe it in a way that doesn't overwhelm me. So even thinking like, I have things on my calendar, like everything is planned today. It is all planned. So like if I just tell myself, I don't need to worry about the day because everything is on the calendar. I know I just got to go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. That's it. Or I could be like, oh my God, I have such a busy day. And you know, I don't even have anything to eat. Like the hotel only has fried chicken. Like I could describe it that way too, but then I start feeling at the effect of everything. I start feeling like I have no choice, that the world is just throwing it at me. You always have a choice in how you describe your life. Like I would never even call your life irregular. Think about like how that's making you feel. It makes you feel powerless to weight loss. What if you just said, I'm really good at figuring out what to do next when things happen? Or even if you don't feel like you're a baller at it, you could just say, I refuse to think I can't handle my life. I've gotten this far. If you just step into refusing to think, I refuse to think my life is busy and I refuse to think it's irregular. I have decided that what I will think is that I can plan things. I always figure out my day. No one's died so far because of my schedule changing. Like if you just allow yourself to have like a new perspective on it, it does not have to be an amazing baller perspective, but it needs to be like for all of us, we have to quit being a victim of our life. Every one of us, and I'm going to tell you as someone, like I will just say this, when I say as someone who is like busy, and I don't say busy in a way that like, I have developed a relationship with busy. This is how so when I think of myself as like busy, I also have a parenthesis thought in this like, and I'm really good at handling it. That's what most of you don't have. That's why I encourage you not to think of it as busy. So like for me, what I know as someone who, I mean, pretty much work 7 days a week and have for 14 years. Don't worry. I take all kinds of Corinne time too, but because I put it on the schedule. But I know I can handle it because I am a good planner. If your life is truly busy, then you are a good planner. Now, if your life is full of overwhelm because you people please, and because you don't say no, or because you sit around a lot, like standing in the pantry eating when you could be doing something, or eating to not do something, or eating when you should be resting. Most of us don't realize we're not as busy as we say we are. We have micro moments all the time where we could make a plan. There's not a day that goes by in my life where I don't sit down for 5 minutes in the morning and I write down. I was teaching this yesterday in my workshop. I have a digital calendar and I plug everything in. I know exactly where I'm going to be. I do leave a little white space for time, but I also handwrite every single day where I'm supposed to be and like what's going on during that time. This is how I don't feel busy. This is why I don't get burnt out. Because I also am always looking at, like, if I'm planning it on my calendar, here's what I'm also doing. Every day I have to look at it twice. I look at it when I first plan it, and then I look at it on the day. And if I sit there and I dread things or whatever, that allows me to show up for it today, but to journal a quick sentence or two about what is it going to take for me to say no to these things now? Like, I was dreading this today. Is that bullshit? Or is this something that I said yes to that I probably should have said no to? And I just need to grow a spine. I need to start saying no, and like no in a nice way, and see what happens with other people. Sometimes people are disappointed. Sometimes they just move on. But what I've got to quit doing is organizing my life around what I fear people might think. So that helps. Look at Amy. As a woman with two businesses, it can be done. Exactly. Will there be camper only calls leading up to camp? We're not doing any up to camp as of right now. We will probably do our post camp ones this time. We didn't get a ton of attendance, but we will have that private Facebook group for all of you. And we are also going to, as we get closer to camp, very often what ends up happening is we do like a lot more coaching in that group, because we'll like start posing questions on how to get ready for that weekend, on things to do before that weekend, so that you can kind of have a ground, you know, like hit the ground running. But as of right now, we don't have pre-camp calls set up. We just want to get you guys signed up in the group. And by the way, I can start asking some questions around the content that I want to deliver and start figuring out from y'all like what you most need help on, so that while we're developing the content, we're developing it exactly what you need and desire. So if that helps. I guess that's it. No more questions. All right. I hope you enjoyed today. All of you have a, if y'all loved the pre-calls, if you'll go into your, for those of you who went to October camp, if you'll go in there and discuss it and talk about it, then we can decide if we want to do those or not. But it's up to, like, we're always open-minded on things. We just didn't seem like lots of people were attending them. So we don't like, what I don't like doing is offering things that you guys don't want, because I don't want to overwhelm you. So, all right. Y'all have a great rest of your week. I believe, let's see. So you will have another coach this Sunday, because I will be in an all day meeting on Sunday. So I can't pull my calendar up. My damn new computer. I haven't gotten everything installed where it just automatically will populate just yet, but I will figure that out. But I think one of the other coaches is doing this Sunday, because I'm going to be in an all day meeting. But otherwise, I will see y'all next week. I will be in the Facebook group. I've been answering lots of questions. And if you don't know, there is something called hashtag Corinne's advice inside the Facebook group. If you ever just want a good read on lots of different things that I'm offering advice on and coaching in the Facebook group, a lot of people love going to that hashtag and topic and just reading what all I offer. Also, one of the other things that somebody was talking about the other day is the Ask Coaches. And this was in our 55 plus group, actually. They were talking about how they went to Ask Coaches and they couldn't believe the valuable answers that they were finding. So rather than just scrolling the Facebook group, and I mean, I think the Facebook group is valuable for connection and stuff, but sometimes don't just go read the Facebook group. Check in the nobswomen.com. Go to Ask Coaches and read. Read what people need help with and the valuable answers that they're getting. You might just be surprised at what you will unlock for yourself. Okay. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.